Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. Some of y'all might have heard I made the cross-country move from LA to New York last year, and Wayfair has definitely helped me create the feeling of home wherever I am. I love a cozy couch and a comfy living room that feels like our little sanctuary for our family. And I love vases, I love candles, I love anything that kind of makes you feel at home and peaceful. Anyway, something about me is I love options when it comes to making my home more me. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. Everyone loves a good deal. I mean, who does not want free and fast and easy delivery? Come on. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's Friday Morning GM with co-host Voss Larikos. Voss, how are you doing?
Very good, Ken. Very good. Really looking forward to this rivalry matchup against Pittsburgh this upcoming week. Feels like this game has more at stake than most of the recent Ravens-Steelers rivalry games of the last few seasons.
Yeah, Ravens having played the Steelers on Week 18 a couple of times recently, those games have meant nothing for the Ravens, and they've taken them kind of not in 22. In 22, I guess they faced the Bengals, but they have faced them a couple of times in Week 18 where it didn't mean anything, and that has meant that the long successful streak that the Steelers have had against the Ravens has not been as grounded as it yes. Otherwise could be.
Completely agree, and sort of an odd scheduling quirk. This is Pittsburgh's first divisional game of the year coming up.
A very big one at that, a big game for both teams. It's going to be very difficult for the Ravens to win the division if they don't take this. And splitting with Pittsburgh. If you look down the road to tiebreakers, going to be very difficult. And if they split, if they lose this game, they'll be two back. So they'd actually need to beat the Steelers by three games probably in total to outright them. And that looks like a tall task indeed. So big game for the Ravens here.
Absolutely.
A lot of the vitriol around the Ravens pointed at the secondary, some potential changes. John Harbaugh has poo-pooed some of that in interviews this week. But Marcus Williams remains up in the air. I don't think he's actually spoken directly to what's happening to Marcus. Are you expecting anything?
I don't think they have a whole lot of options besides to roll with Marcus at this point. Kyle's hurt. They tried to replace Geno Stone with Eddie Jackson. That didn't quite pan out. And, you know, Ardarius is a serviceable safety, I'd say. But they don't have a whole lot of safety or options unless they talk about moving one of the cornerbacks.
Right. And it won't be Kane or Braid. I'm fairly sure of that, that neither of those guys is going in to play the back end. Eddie Jackson, I don't think they'll replace Marcus Williams with him again. I just don't think that's an upgrade, honestly, at all, given what we saw at Eddie Jackson in that Cleveland game. So I'm with you. I think Marcus Williams, they have to kind of ride and die with him, whatever the however he plays the rest of the year.
Agreed. And for what it's worth, Marcus Williams is graded as the 87th out of 87 safeties on PFF. But it doesn't stop there. Brandon Stevens is the 102nd out of 109 cornerbacks per PFF. And Roquan Smith, the highest paid inside linebacker in the league, is 62nd out of 83 linebackers. I think you have to say that coaching is the culprit. When you have regression across the board of your defensive personnel, perhaps Travis Jones, maybe the one exception of a player that's playing better than he played last year, Marlon Humphrey as well, but he's more or less regained his previous form. You have to question whether John Harbaugh made the right decision with Zach Orr.
Right. It is. It's a question. It is a legitimate question. And I guess the defensive coaching in general needs to be kind of not taken as just a Zach Orr thing, because there were a number of changes. Anthony Weaver, of course, gone from the defensive line, and Denard Wilson gone to Tennessee to be their defensive coordinator. Significant changes for the Ravens. And I guess one of the questions that comes up, is there a possibility this week or on the bye week that there would be changes that would come back and hit the Ravens?
It's certainly a possibility. I was thought maybe right after the Thursday night, you know, leading into this game, now we're already into this Pittsburgh lead up, but I thought there was a possibility there. It's difficult to try to make a big change in the middle of a season. There's not, you know, Bill Belichick, unless he wants to become the defensive coordinator for the Ravens. It's a tough three-game stretch coming up with Pittsburgh, then the Chargers, and then the Eagles. So all three of those teams can certainly, challenge the secondary, who's been challenged. And to the point about losing personnel, they didn't necessarily replace Wilson or Weaver with comparable coaches. And right. Wilson, the Ravens are last or are allowing the most explosive plays in the league. The Baltimore Ravens, Tennessee Titans under Denard Wilson, the least. And Anthony Weaver as well, he really had his defense humming on Monday night against the Rams in L.A., 5.1 yards per pass against that Rams offense that had all their playmakers back. So they lost a lot. They didn't necessarily replace them with comparable talent, and we're seeing the effects, unfortunately.
Right. I'm some of this is a practicality of when these kind of changes could be made. And I don't want to spend too much time on this in this particular show, but I do think that there's the possibility of change, and it's probably a little bit easier to make it at the bye week than it is on this 10-day hiatus. These are kind of the two times. These are the two opportunities from my point of view.
Agree completely. And as I mentioned, you know, you're going to face AJ Brown with the Eagles. And what's his name? The rookie or second-year player, Quentin Johnson, I believe, who's on a tear, putting touchdowns for the Chargers. Obviously, the Chargers have some familiarity with the Ravens' defense. So I could certainly see a change. It's kind of a test period, I think, for Orr to try to right the ship, or it is time to make a change because the defense, I mean, 25th in EPA per play, including the number one run defense, and they're still 25th in EPA per play on defense. That's a pretty strong indictment.
You know what? That is one of the good things, is that you can kind of separate some of the good and the bad on this defense. I mean, one of the nice things from my point of view is that Travis Jones' return actually did revive the pass rush. And that was a nice thing to see in this last game. They're back down to 29% ATS. They'd been at 50% ample time and space for a 3-week period in the games he'd been hurt. So that was tough. Talk briefly about Tre'Davious White. I don't even know if we've had a show since Tre'Davious White was acquired.
Nope. No, because last week was Thursday night, so we didn't touch on the trade deadline at all.
Okay. So an older player here, a guy who has really been not good at all in his time with the Rams, right? Rams, this year in four games. But the Ravens see something, obviously, and they say he's going to get playing time right away. What do you think? What do you think about that?
I actually think there's a possibility that he could be factored into the mix at safety. He was always best as a zone corner, which sort of is the more natural progression to a safety as compared to a sticky man-to-man type of guy. We're going to have to see, because it seems like they have a glut of, they have a lot of pretty good corners and not very many safeties that are playing at a startable level right now. So whether it's he, whether it's Brandon Stevens, I'm not convinced that a move to safety would really help Brandon Stevens very much. I wasn't impressed with his play on the back end when he was a safety. He did do some good things as sort of that overhang linebacker coming forward when he was auditioning at safety. But apparently they wanted to keep him at safety until they finally were forced to make the move to corner. What was that, about a season and a half ago?
Yeah, I guess it was before 23, and then all of a sudden he never missed a snap and was a high quality right corner immediately. I'm hearing Harbaugh's language about Stevens, and I hear somebody who's saying not yet on Stevens moving from corner. He said he's trying very hard to play this position well, or words to that effect. To me, this is like he's going to get one more chance to play this position well, is what I'm really hearing there. And that might mean he just gets benched, or it might mean that a move to safety is still possible. But it does seem like it would be kind of a waste, given how the Ravens are otherwise, if he doesn't move to safety. They do have Wiggins and Humphrey could play on the outside, and it could have Mollett or whatever play on the slot. Mollett, we'll just get into the injury report in a minute here, but Mollett's on the injury report now. He may or may not play. If that's the case, I think the opportunity is golden to move Humphrey to the slot. If they don't have some other plan for moving Humphrey to safety this week, but move Humphrey to slot, and then we'll see Wiggins, some combination of Wiggins, White, and Stevens on the outside.
Agreed. And I think they need Humphrey in the slot for his playmaking potential, jumping routes, stripping balls, stripping receivers. On a related note, I do think the defense is possibly in line for some positive interception regression, or positive regression on interceptions. Ravens are tied for the NFL lead with 53 passes defense, but they only have 6 interceptions on the year. And Bill Connolly, ESPN, did a study a few years ago, and approximately 20% of PDs are supposed to result in interceptions. So maybe they're due for some there. But I think it's just a matter of communication, I think, and just – is it too complex? Is it too simple? Is it too much of both? I don't know, but they just need to work as a team better, I think.
There is a luck factor certainly with that. And by the way, that number is exactly what I got. Once every 5 to 5.5 is about the right number. And the Ravens are just a little bit better than once every 9 that they're intercepting balls. That's unlucky. It's also a small sample size. If you think about, how many sixes do you roll? If you roll a die, 53 times, you're certainly not guaranteed to get the 9 you would hope for, and you might end up with 5. And it's just the way things somehow go. But anyway, it's it's unfortunate. And he's right though that the Ravens, I would feel better even about their percentage going up if more of their balls were tips at the line of scrimmage, and not tips and dislodgements in coverage, which I think are a fairly significant portion of the Ravens PDs. So there's probably a little bit of that as well.
But out of curiosity, Ken, real quick, just wanted to get your opinion here. are you in favor of more man coverage? Because to me, when you look at the players, they have the athletic talent to be better in coverage than they are. And I think it just made me a matter of trying to use the deceptive pressures maybe too much, and that's creating some of the problem.
Right. Well, you sometimes when you have to play zone instead of man, and you know, zone is dictated when you want to play mostly downhill football and keep guys in front of you and whatnot. So that's, you should start with that. The other component is, and this question, by the way, is asked us on the radio the other day, and Ed mm-hmm. said, I think they're more confused in zone coverage, that they really look like they know what they're doing in man, and that makes all kinds of sense. But there's a second component to that that's important, is that your safety play always has a zone component, and that's where the Ravens are falling down most. Okay, Stevens is falling down some. A lot of his troubles are man coverage problems, that he's been very sticky but beaten on the back shoulder and whatnot. I think they do have actually a man coverage problem on that side of the field. But I think otherwise it's a zone problem. It's a problem that the safeties are not covering, and you can't get away with it unless you go to cover zero. So those safeties, they always have decisions on who they have to cover and responsibilities, need to keep their spacing right, to keep their options open, and then make choices eventually. Mm-hmm. So it's, I don't think you really get away with the important part of the zone that we're thinking about here. Yes, transitioning people from level one to two, maybe you're better off, you know, playing man or whatnot, but you always have questions about are your safeties getting there to create the bracket you really need.
Well said.
All right, let's move on. Talk about the injury report. Take us through that, if you would.
Sure. So we have the Thursday injury report was released just about 10 minutes ago as we record here. Jalen Armour-Davis was full. He two fulls. Kyle Hamilton returned to limited. So that's certainly a good sign. Lamar Jackson had a rest day. Travis Jones is still limited with the ankle. Isaiah Likely came to full with the hamstring, so that's certainly also a good sign. Arthur Maulet apparently was in a walking boot. He is limited, was limited on Thursday. Brent Urban, full. Kyle Van Noy, also full. So your limiteds as we approach Friday practice, Kyle Hamilton, Lamar Jackson, Travis Jones, and Arthur Maulet.
I would expect three of those four to play at least, and the limited for Maulet is a little concerning. The limited for Travis Jones is a new limited, by the way. He was full the day before, so that's actually a concern, because especially after what he means to the Ravens pass rush, that's fairly significant. I don't have any doubt that Jackson will play, and I'm not sure that it's a 100% chance that Hamilton plays after coming back to being limited. It kind of depends on what he was doing at practice. But at least he's on track to have a full practice tomorrow and a walkthrough and then play on Sunday.
I would be surprised if Hamilton plays, just because he did not re-enter the game. If it was usually if they re-enter, you figure they can come back the next week. If not, they might take a week. That's just my
10 days instead of seven?
I still think who knows? Hopefully. But I'd rather him not re-aggravate it or make it worse just to get this one game. This isn't that obviously it's an important game, but it's not a playoff game.
That's true. It's not a one and done game, but it well could be the difference between a wild card and a division win. I think those are the two choices for the Ravens right now. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen any one of the graphs that kind of show the significance of this, but usually those are based on whether or not you make the playoffs and how much of it changes if you win or lose, kind of thing. But I'd like to see what's the chance of winning the division, win or lose, on a graph like that. And that would be a nice leverage thing to see. All right. Wanted to talk about the current IR list and who's likely to come back. Now, I thought we talked about the number of people who have been IR DTRs before, and I believe there are three. Ali has already been an IR DTR, and Maulet, and there's one more.
I'll think about it.
Yeah, okay. I was thinking you might remember, know the numbers four and correct me right there because I'm kind of concerned about that. I couldn't remember whether Chris Board had been out, for example, for any period of time and come back.
I think he missed two games but was not put on IR, okay, if I recall.
All right. And they have three guys on IR right now who I believe are still expected to return or expected they would be able to return this year. And the first is Michael Pierce, who they certainly want back as soon as he's ready.
Yes.
And the other two are TJ Tampa and Deontay Hardy, who they are flexible on the ability to return with. That they Tampa, it'd be kind of a shame if he didn't come back, play some his rookie year, et cetera, et cetera. On the other hand, you know, if he's buried on the cornerback chart, maybe even if they get another guy off the street, they never have a chance to activate him, they may decide that's useful for someone else. Or we might even see the strategy used is similar to last year. Since we're getting to the point, it's going to be tough to have another injury at this point that leads to an IR that then has the time for somebody able to be back, even in time for the playoffs. I think there's a good chance that we see Tampa, the window opened when he's ready to play at some point, and the Ravens need him, maybe around week 15, so he could come mm-hmm. back in 16, 17, or 18. And then, you know, if the Ravens happen to suffer an injury, they have that option. They did that with Malik Ham and I think somebody else last year.
It was definitely Malik Ham, and I don't recall the second again. But on the topic of Tampa, I would like him to come back, at least develop him so he can be more of a contributor next season. Coming into this year, I thought he could maybe factor into the safety depth just because of, again, another zone-based corner with size and length and instincts. I'm not sure that's in the cards considering how much time he's missed. But Pierce, you certainly want back as soon as possible. That was reported a calf injury. So he's a big man, but calf injuries, unless it's a Achilles, don't usually, you know, take that long to heal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So hopefully he'd be back. And Deontay Hardy, I don't know that the Ravens honestly need him at this point. So they may just let that ride out. And I would not expect that he'd be back next year for the Ravens.
I don't see a role in this team, especially with Deontay Johnson now on the roster.
All right. So the other place where they've had a lot of difficulty, and this is a Pierce situation as well, is they've had trouble maintaining 5 IDLs per game. This came up, by the way, recorded the Know Your Foe show is out today. And I was talking with Alex Kozora, who's a Steelers fan, about their plight on the defensive line. Now, the Steelers have a basically concentrate their snaps into 3 defensive linemen more than any other team in the entire NFL and have for 20 years plus in terms mm-hmm. of, you know, Tuitt and Hayward and Kiesel and Aaron Smith and players like that, just taking a huge percentage of the snaps. And they're doing the same this year again with their primary players who are Benton, Hayward, and I forget the last one now. But anyway, there's Ogunjobi. Yeah. Those three guys mm-hmm. are playing a very high percentage of snaps again, and they don't have very many by anybody else. And I said, well, you know, the Ravens situation, they're having trouble even dressing 5 defensive linemen for game. They had 4 for probably about half the game so far. And he's like, well, 4? Right. Why would you ever go to a game with 4? This is a Steelers fan. They play the same players every play. So
That's true. Yeah, those Steelers D linemen log a lot of snaps. I think the same can be said of the Ravens D linemen this year. Madubuike and Travis Jones have done well to shoulder a very large snap share, but you need 5. And the fifth doesn't have to be the highest quality player. I'm not even sure the fourth does. Broderick Washington's he's a replacement level player pretty much. But I do want 5. And my choice for the fifth would be to activate Wormley to the 53. I think mm-hmm. he's played well enough in the limited snaps that he's had that as a temporary measure. And then when Pierce is ready to return, then you can, you know, try to get Wormley back to the practice squad at that point.
All right. So that certainly could happen. They're going to go through a process here. They have the basic 4. They have Jones, Madubuike, Urban, Washington. Then they have Wormley and Tupou who they can elevate. And I think that's actually what they've been doing is kind of mm-hmm. Conserving their elevations because they know that they might have somebody else get hurt and they don't want to have to go to the street again because it's a big drop down in terms of the what they have there. But they have between the two of Wormley and Tupou, they have 3 remaining elevations, I believe. I could be wrong about that. Might be. Yeah, I think Wormley has 2 and Tupou has 1 remaining.
Yeah, they did a similar similar. They use a similar tactic at inside linebacker, the special teams inside linebacker with Christian Welsh and Josh Ross, and they activate one or the other so they can stretch it out so they have that body they need with remaining activations. But maybe Pierce comes back in time and no one needs to be put on the 53. Mm-hmm. Then again, maybe someone could get poached. Obviously, we saw Ngakoue was not able to be retained. So, this time of year, the attrition across the league makes it more risky to not have a player on the 53.
Yeah, absolutely. So there is a possibility coming. After they get done with their elevations, I'm sure they'll elevate one. And if you're Wormley or Tupou, I think, if you got a call from Arizona or whatever it is, I think you come to the Ravens like all practice squad people do. Hey, look, the Cardinals are interested. Do you want to elevate me? And I think either of them would stay. I mean, they're here now. They have a living situation and whatnot. They're playing for a championship mm-hmm. caliber team. I think they'd want to stay in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Okay. Let's see. The other thing, the veteran edge. We've talked about that a lot, the possibility of poaching one. The pass rush seems a lot less of an issue now after Travis Jones came back, and everybody across the defensive line all of a sudden is playing at a much higher level, and Jones himself was very effective. I am a little concerned that a lot of that was the Cincinnati line, the absence of Orlando Brown, and some of their crappy interior players.
I was disappointed that a veteran edge was not acquired at the trade deadline. Pittsburgh, for example, grabbed Preston Smith from the Packers. They traded a 2025th seventh rounder, and he played 23 snaps in the debut and flashed. That would have been a player that I thought would have been a worthy flyer. The salary wasn't nothing, but it was about $2 million or so remaining for this year with no further guarantees. I'm not sure why sometimes the Ravens hoard their late-round picks too much, in my opinion. But I'd still be in the market for another player. You need injury insurance behind Van Noy and Owe. You also want to make sure they are not getting burned out with too many snaps down the stretch.
With you entirely with that, that it'd be nice to have that. And you don't want to be forced into playing a Jabo more than you want to. Right. This team, though, has not played Adisa Isaac. And they're kind of at a, use the toilet or get off it kind of moment, not to introduce scatologies here. I mean, they really need to figure out whether or not they're going to play him or not the rest of this year. And I know they probably want to hold him in reserve for the possibility of an injury, but that's what acquiring a player would be. I honestly don't think the Preston Smith lack of action on Preston Smith was a matter of draft capital. I think it was a matter of cap for this year that they didn't want to invade their tiny hoard of remaining cap with a couple of million dollar expenditure that would have taken them to the end of the line. And I still think they'd rather have a player like Clowney, probably, who they're familiar with. Clowney's familiar with Chuck Smith. He plays with the same players, knows how to work off a Travis Jones or a Matabike in a way that could be productive.
Yeah, Clowney's back from his injury, came back, played pretty well in the last, I think they played on Thursday, but it looked like he went down with the injury towards the end of that game again.
Oh,
But I'm not sure if he's done for the year or what. But again, we're past the trade deadline, so anyone they add has to be a street free agent or cleaned off of waivers.
Right. And there could be the big hope, and honestly, the Ravens' chance to sign this player would be possible because he'll be a veteran and he won't have to clear waivers. Would be if the Dolphins lose some games, and unfortunately they won. Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes. Anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So
Head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code Ravens when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers. And they can help you get your confidence back, too, with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride, prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
I'm Jennifer Garner. You may know me from my other job, but I'm a business owner too. Here at Once Upon a Farm, we chose the Capital One Venture X business card because it makes everything we do even more rewarding. With no preset spending limit, our purchasing power adapts to meet our business needs. And unlimited double miles on every purchase means we earn more too. And when we travel, we get access to over 1,300 airport lounges. The Capital One Venture X business card. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/VentureXBusiness.
This game against the Rams and let Calais Campbell go.
Yeah, Dolphins are still alive. I'd be surprised if they were sellers or they made a move like that, at least for a few weeks, because I believe they're only two games behind the Broncos for the final wild card spot. And the only team between them are the Bengals. So they have a chance if they can, you know, get healthy and stack some games. I was impressed by their defensive showing on Monday night. Mm-hmm. And Calais was sort of the mascot for that.
Yeah. Well, the Ravens had a lot of cloggage on their roster, and now looks like they've actually got about three moves that they could make if they had to. I think if they wanted to clear up space, would you agree Ali is the first guy to be cut?
Absolutely. I don't see a value on this year's team. I don't necessarily see a value in future years either. So I'd be more than happy to release Ali. I don't think you need four running backs on the roster with the other you know, potential issues, especially defensive line and the secondary. I think more bodies there, the more bodies there, the better.
Jeff C made the point that he thought they might be waiting a game or two to see if Keaton Mitchell was going to be healthy and could take the load before they cut Ali, but he's got to be next. I mean, he's got to be the next guy up. They do have a couple other options. If Bo Braid, I think he can probably be cut and re-signed. I don't think he would be lost because whoever claims him off waivers has to put him on their roster. Somebody he might be cut and somebody else might call him and sign him to their practice squad. That's possible. But I think he would clear waivers is my guess.
Well, he went undrafted, so no one covered him during the draft. And I don't know if you've seen enough since then to say, wow, we miss on this guy. Let's scoop him up. You know, it's not like a former third-round pick that somebody's going to take a flyer on.
Well, they obviously have to impute his value as being extremely high, that he's probably a Pro Bowl caliber safety if he can't break into the Ravens starting safety duo.
Right.
It does not speak well of him, honestly, unfortunately, but it could be somebody might want him as a decent special teams player. Tez Walker going to IR, I think, is still a possibility. The Ravens, you know, they have Deontay Johnson now. And then you've also had a pickup and play from the two other wide receivers.
Yes.
Wallace and Evan Aguilar, too. He had a touchdown, right? So,
yes.
You know, you're looking at a pretty solid five-man unit there, and I just don't see Tez Walker getting on the field. They're using him for special teams. He's taking an activation slot each week. I would much rather have that be a safety who could do that as well.
Agree. I had high hopes for Tez coming into the season. Doesn't look like it's going to pan out. If you need a spot, it's fine. You can ramp him up again next spring and see what you get next year.
All right. Been a lot of trash talking this week coming up for the Steelers game. Just some interesting stuff. We have had a little discussion on this on various shows this week, but the Patrick Queen stuff, my counterpart for the Steelers, Alex Kozora, who does the Know Your Fostos with us, is really under the impression that Patrick Queen is having a good season. And I do not see it that way. He's had 13 stops. He had a great game this last week, not denying that in any way, which brought him all the way up to 13 stops and 11 missed tackles for the year, which is an unbelievably bad, you know, ratio between the two. The guy who is having a great season, though, is Deshaun Elliott. Is secretly having a fantastic season. He's had 18 stops and 2 missed tackles as basically a run fit strong safety. The Ravens had him playing on the back end as a free safety at times when he was here because they didn't really have a strong safety at that point. They didn't really have a free safety. Yeah.
The Queen stuff is just, why would the Ravens insult you with an offer when they don't want to pay 2 inside backers and they already drafted a replacement? That's just seems like a little bit of an immature view from Patrick Queen. It just, the writing was on the wall. Why would they do? What if you say yes and they don't want to pay 2 inside backers? Then what do you do? You know, so they just didn't want to put themselves in that position.
That's exactly right. And if they put out their 3 years, $30 million or whatever, they could just rescind it when the time comes. But the goal in those kind of situations is usually to give the player a below market offer that they can then take to the market and start the bidding at a certain level. If Queen's complaining about that, then basically just, you know, the Ravens from the offer was probably not going to be taken seriously by other teams anyway because of how much they'd invested in Simpson and the amount that they're paying Roquan and the other teams' needs. I mean, this coming offseason, I don't know that any offer that a player supposedly has is going to mean anything to another team because the Ravens have so many priorities in terms of who they need to sign that are, you know, third-year players that I don't know that the market really thought that a floor offer from the Ravens would have really meant anything.
No, I don't think so. And the food in Baltimore is definitely better than Pittsburgh. I will also say that.
All right. Well, we got to talk about your restaurant here again in a minute or two, but Tomlin and Johnson, obviously Tomlin, he wears sunglasses all the time. And by the way, this is not my thought. Somebody else on Twitter came up with this, and I forget who. So I'm not ascribing credit for this properly. But Tomlin wears sunglasses a lot of the time, even on a night game. Mm-hmm. And when you see him talk at the podium about Deontay Johnson and talk coach speak but his eyes are crazy eyes. He said something else. It's no wonder.
Yeah, Tomlin's an entertaining presser, that's for sure. But even when he's not saying anything, it's pretty funny. Yeah, there are even Wormley. If Wormley plays, I mean, he went back and forth, right? So he was with the Ravens, traded to the Steelers, and now he's back with the Ravens. These teams are intertwined in many ways. They always have been.
Yeah, not like the Jets or the Chargers in the way that they're intertwined with the Ravens with the personnel departments overlapping in a significant way. But yeah, the Steelers certainly have had some players that each team is respectful of and has signed from the other team over the years. And yeah, it's AFC North football. There are some similarities there to start with.
Definitely.
All right, you want to head out to the mailbag? I'm going to look for that question. I think was there before, but you start us off here.
Absolutely. So our first question is from Connor Kellerstrass. Love the show. Would like opinions on two items. Number one, Wiggins permanently on the outside at outside quarterback. Marlon in the slot, Kyle on the back end is the best answer to make a deep run. While you're searching, I'll answer that one or give my take. I definitely agree with Wiggins on the outside. I do like Marlon in the slot. I do still like the ability for Kyle when he's back from injury to play some dime because the back end's not a strong suit and he makes more of an impact. And you can be a bend don't break defense if you're generating takeaways, and Hamilton closer to the line of scrimmage with Marlon also in the slot is a good way to start generating more takeaways.
Yeah, I'm in favor of Marlon in the slot at this point. And it's not something I'm always in favor of, but I do think that they need Hamilton too much on the back end. And that has to really relate to what Hamilton's injury situation is right now. And I also, if it's possible right now, I wouldn't mind being able to switch on a play-by-play basis between Marlon at safety and Hamilton up front. So a lot of it has to do with exactly how ready is Hamilton to play this football game. If he's ready to play, but he can only do something, well, then let's take the only do something and do the best we can with it. And that may mean he can only play close to the line of scrimmage, or I'm not sure. The Ravens got to work around that first and foremost, because he's the ace of spades that they really need in their hand.
Yes, agreed. Second part of Connor's question, in order, these are the most important extensions. Number one, Ronnie. Number two, Tyler Linderbaum. Number three, Travis Jones. Thoughts?
I would basically agree with that. Everything is going to circulate around the Ronnie Stanley decision. And technically, the Tyler Linderbaum and Travis Jones decisions can be even deferred a year. It's just this is the opportunity to do them cheaply. You can add Isaiah Likely, Ardarius Washington, and maybe even Daniel Fa'alele into that group. When we talk about third-year players, that's some serious, obviously shades of gray in terms of how much you need those players. But I would agree with his list there. I would probably have it Jones ahead of Linderbaum, in my opinion, in terms of how important those players are.
I agree with that. Exactly. I think a disruptive three down defensive tackle has more value than a top three center, personally, just the positional value, replaceability, scarcity. So I would have Jones second. And Ronnie's probably the most important, but it's not necessarily going to be a long-term deal. So Jones is really one of my top priorities for this coming offseason.
The Steelers are talking about a big deal for, what is it, Doyle? The guys, the left, I always want to call him Doyle, but that might not be his name. The left tackle who's now in his fourth year and is first showing up now to play well. Dan Moore, sorry. I always call him Dan Moore.
Moore. Yeah. What was he? A sixth round pick. Big tall guy, right?
Yep.
Long arms. I forget where he played. Long arms. Yep. Yeah. They developed him well. They missed on some of the guys they picked high, too. So, but one way or another, offensive line's playing well enough to give Russell Wilson time to throw those moon balls that he likes so much.
Right. Yeah. Texas A&M for Dan Moore as well. But that's a player who, has followed really, I think, is a typical Ravens pattern of development, that they end up being a good fourth-year player. And it's nice to see other teams not be able to develop players earlier than that. And hey, sixth round draft pick, hey, that exactly fits the Ravens mold. Sometimes you get more out of players a little earlier. Moore's played a lot. He's been kind of an iron man. And it's, he's an interesting case study for Ronnie Stanley's contract, because I really wonder what the relative of those two will be. In Stanley, you get certainly a higher quality player when he's playing at his best. And we've seen some of that this season. Moore has now come into his best at a younger age. And does that make him the more valuable commodity at 26 years old? He's just turned 26 in September too. So he's a young 26. Which player gets more in the open market?
I would think that Moore does, just because the history of these offensive tackles, left tackles particularly, that start becoming injury prone. Tyron Smith, a few others. They just seem like it's not something that can be course corrected. I do think that Ronnie will probably, knock on wood, hopefully he makes it through this year and the next couple of years, but I'm not sure that's a high likelihood.
Okay. Now we have another question from A Bits, and he just gives us a comment here. So let me read it as is. Any thoughts on this? No, he has this question. Any thoughts on the success of Lamar's had despite the offensive line taking time to improve while new pieces are assimilating? Is this something EDC might have seen happening? And is the success with a middling line an area where cap dollars can be saved? Very thoughtful question there. So biggest question of all to me is, where can you save money if you're a GM? Not, look, there's this shiny object over here, a wide receiver who was good 3 years ago. And this other one over here, I got to have a tight end and I got to have a running back. And there's a left tackle. Sign everybody. Mortgage the future. That's not, how I want the organization run. I want to find out how to play well for a long period of time, and give yourself consistent lottery tickets. By the way, when you give yourself consistent lottery tickets to get in the playoffs, the playoff disappointments seem less significant, but you can't really control, the 2019 kind of playoff loss very easily. It just is going to happen once in a while. And that's why you don't want to go all in every single pot when you've got a generally good football team that can contend every year. You want to maintain some dry powder, maintain the ability to make those teams good by making some, less expensive moves. And this is my frustration anyway with the all in kind of philosophy. And I know you have a slightly different view, but I think you're still closer to the right. I'll call myself this extreme right on this case. I think you're closer to the right than you are to the left on that case.
Absolutely. You can certainly overdo it going all in. My view is that if you can maintain a championship window, but to me, it's really, I'm probably the biggest proponent of positional value in the Ravens flock. That's sort of my default calling card. And I think the way to save money is to not spend money on the most replaceable positions. This Ravens roster is not built that way, and it is what it is. But back to the question, if we can, I think Lamar is certainly having a tremendous beneficial impact on the offensive line. Imagine Joe Flacco trying to execute an offense behind this offensive line would be disastrous. You see Lamar scramble, buy time, go all the way to the sideline, make a play. He's constantly evading pressure, changing the angles, evading pressure some more, and then making plays down the field. And I do agree that this is a place where cap dollars can be saved. I wouldn't recommend that for most teams, but with Lamar's unique skill set, and I think offensive line's one of the most important position groups on the team. But if you are in a position where you're paying an inside linebacker, you're paying a running back, you're paying a fullback, you're paying some other replaceable positions, and you have to choose somewhere, I think Lamar is unique enough and special enough to be able to save some dollars on the offensive line.
It certainly has worked this year. Some of it, I think, is some of the Ravens' institutional coaching ability has made this offensive line play at probably a little higher than the aggregate sum of their parts, I would say they are. Linderbaum is a very solid center. Ronnie Stanley's been an injury-plagued left tackle that it's happened to work out at a significantly higher level this year. And then the other three positions, you're getting a, you know, a backup tackle playing very well now at guard, at left guard. You're having a rookie right tackle playing very well, which is unusual. And when I say very well, he's probably playing at about a C or C minus level for the year now on what he's doing, which is extremely good relative to the curve and where you want a guy to be in his rookie year. And I think you got to also look at Daniel Faalele. If this were his rookie year, this would be a really good year he's having. It's not. It's his third year, and he really needed to get off that developmental lineman tag this year and be something. But I think he's also done that to a certain degree. And I'm not enthused. I'm not, you know, it's not a 10 performance, sorry, but it's not a zero either. It's, you know, whether it's a four or a five or a six, I think you can make an argument on any of those. And I think he might be a guy who figures into the Ravens' plans as a starter next year. And the thing that would change that would be if the Ravens had a high draft pick that went to the offensive line that was kind of directly replacing him.
I think directly to A. Bitt's point, I think offensive guard is a position where the Ravens can go relatively cheap, both in the draft and as far as cap dollars going forward, as long as Lamar, you know, maintains this this evasiveness that he currently has. Maybe later in his career, he loses half a step and you can't get away with that. But just based off of what we've seen this year, I think that they don't necessarily need a stud guard. Average guards are probably good enough.
Yeah, great point, by the way, about projecting for Lamar's future decline in mobility, because it will happen. It happens to everybody at some point. Mm-hmm. And this happened to be kind of, I won't call it a perfect storm, but a confluence of a couple of different circumstances this year, that the line was bad and Lamar also lost a lot of weight to be more mobile than he had been the last couple of years. And all of a sudden, I mean, it just doesn't look like anybody can almost, they can't touch him, but they can't, when they do get their hands on him, they can't even take him down necessarily, which has been kind of a sweet deal.
Number one pass offense in the NFL right now.
And number one offense. Yes.
Yeah. But most importantly to me, most important phase is pass offense. You can have some issues on defense and other places. Pass offense compensates for a lot. And they're going to have a tough test this week. Pittsburgh has played Lamar better than anyone. So we'll have a better idea of exactly how far Lamar's come and how capable this offense is of just putting everybody else on their back after this game.
Got one more question here. It's from you, Cole. Appreciate it. With all the talk about Orr's system and P's system, why aren't they just running McDonald's system? When a coordinator leaves, he shouldn't take all of the institutional knowledge with him. Agree with that. Like the way Monken incorporates Roman's run scheme with his passing attack. It's a very good point. But for whatever reason, I think I'd have to start with, I don't think Orr has been able to communicate, coach, implement, deploy, whatever word you want to use, the rotational nature of McDonald's coverage schemes from the back end in a way that's been effective.
It's a sequencing. I think it's the sequencing. They certainly have incorporated. I mean, you see some of the deceptive pressures that they're running. They were the same ones they were using last year. But when they use them and maybe how the players execute them, and it can be a weak link, one weak link breaks the chain type of situation, as Marlon alluded to a couple weeks ago as well.
Yeah, and that's a big thing for Marlon to say, obviously, because you know he's talking specifically to a couple of guys who are not getting it done. Both back-end positions have been a problem. I think Ardarius has given the Ravens a little bit of relief there, but both Eddie Jackson and Williams have been a problem. But also he's really talking to Brandon Stevens at this point, and he's talking about him, you know, as he's coming up to his free agency contract. Last thing we'll go with, Voss, and this is just something we didn't touch on early. If you're Brandon Stevens now and John Harbaugh approaches you about moving to safety and says, hey, look, I know this is not ideal timing for you. We see you coming up on free agency here. We think there's probably been some devaluation anyway. So
certainly
we need you. We need you now to play safety, regardless of what the circumstances with your contract. What do you think his reaction to it would be?
You know, I don't know Brandon on a personal level to know, necessarily have an opinion on what his reaction will be, but I think it's a team sport and the goal is to win a Super Bowl, not to maximize a certain player's next contract. So I would hope that he's more than willing to do whatever it takes. We've heard that from many players, whatever they need me to do, I'll do. I understand this was his chance to get a payday. If he was playing at the level he was playing at last year, he'd still be in line, but he's not. And that's not the coach's fault. It is what it is. So I would hope that he'd be willing. And I hope anybody on the entire team, you know, we saw Marshall Yanda switch to the other side of the to play guard when he had a bad shoulder so he could get inside leverage. You know, player, it's a team sport, and we're trying to win the Super Bowl. We're not trying to maximize Brandon Stevens' contract.
Well, absolutely. And I agree that's got to be the first thing. And if you're Brandon Stevens, I hope he has the right answer for that question if it comes. You know, coach, I'm just looking to play here. Can I get, you know, whatever it takes to get us over the hump? Because if he doesn't, the other opportunity could be benching. And it also could be kind of a wedge between him and Harbaugh. It's a question that like, it's like asking somebody, is life fair on an interview? You know, it's not a question you can really have a right answer to, but there's a whole lot of wrong answers to that question. You can impale yourself on that question. Sure. And I do think this is a case where, it really could be, would you like to play safety or would you like to be benched? Right. Could be the question as otherwise put forth. And that right. might really honestly be the answer.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's time to get the defense back on track. Consider many options. They had the mini bye this week. Hopefully that gave them some time to reconsider some options. And, you know, we'll see. But I think covering Pickens and Williams on those moon balls, you know, they need to be in the right headspace and communicate much better this week.
All right. Voss, always a pleasure doing this show with you. Nice high-level discussion about a number of topics that are kind of always loose on the table after the offense and defense shows in particular. But really appreciate doing this show with you. Now, let's talk a little bit. You have a restaurant opening still later this month now?
Potentially later this month or the first part of next month. Okay. So we are called Fiammata. It's Italian cuisine. It's sort of a large place with a large bar, lounge, and dining room, and a private room. And we've been remodeling and renovating for about 6 months now, and we're on the precipice of opening up our new venture, 2900 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg, Maryland. I'll keep everybody posted when we are ready to open. Hope to have a good Ravens crowd and, you know, ambiance, cuisine, and service. That's what we're aiming for.
Looking forward to it. How big is your private room in terms of how many little hosts, do you know?
The private room, there's two private rooms. The upper private, actually three. The one that's going to be opened with the grand opening accommodates roughly 60. There's a lower level that we have not renovated yet that will accommodate about 100. And then there's a three-season room that would be nice for a bridal shower or something of that nature in the spring or fall that we have also not renovated quite yet, but that'll be available next year.
I've talked to a fair number of people in the analyst community. We're looking forward to coming out and giving your restaurant a try as soon as it opens up, but appreciate you keeping us in the loop on that.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. Make use of hashtag film study mailbag on your questions. If you want to say hashtag film study mailbag and FMGM, we'll find that as well. And it would be helpful to kind of differentiate where you want that question answered. If it's a question about the defense or offense, for example, a lot of times we can tell anyway, but I do appreciate it. For Voss Larikos, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye. We'll talk to you next week on Friday Morning GM.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.